talk a little Bruins hockey. To do that, we welcome in our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty. Happy Monday.
Hey, Rich. Happy Monday to you as well. How are we doing today?
Doing very well, thanks. How about you?
Great, great. It's weird. We have a game day, Bruins game day on a Monday. This feels kind of rare, but I'll take it. It gives me something to do on a Monday, which is always welcomed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and things have been going pretty well for the Bruins post All-Star break here, playing some good hockey, but also making some moves. Break down what you think of the Bruins' big trade at the deadline and adding Orlov and Hathaway.
I love it. I think these are moves that you make to put yourself over the top, right? And I think that the Bruins, they didn't enter the deadline with a glaring need, right? They needed some complementary pieces, and I think they got them with these two guys. You know, Garnett Hathaway is a player who, when you watch him, you really don't like him unless he's on your team. And I think Bruins fans are quickly going to fall in love with him. You know, another local connection, New Englander, obviously born in Maine, played at Phillips Andover, and went to Brown. So kind of has done a tour of New England in a lot of ways, and now he's playing here. So this is a guy that I look at, and, you know, I say that the Bruins needed a hammer, right? And he's a hammer. Yeah, he's going to hit the opposing team's defenseman. He's going to leave a mark, you know, on guys. He's going to play a little borderline, but I think you need that in the postseason, as ruthless as it may sound. And it's one of those situations where I think the Bruins have been the nail more than the hammer. So it's nice to have a guy who can dish it out in the event that someone takes a run, you know, at a Bergeron, at a Marchand, at a McAvoy. To have that kind of in your chamber, it creates some anxiety for the opposition, is a really good move. And when it comes to Orlov, another guy who plays a heavy brand of hockey, plays both the left and the right side. He's got some offensive pop as well. He had a career-high 12 goals and 35 points last season. Just kind of a do-it-all defenseman. You know, you never have enough of those in the postseason. So I love both of these moves. It's rare, Rich, in a deadline where you trade, you know, four picks, basically, or three picks of, I think, consequence, and you get two players. You know, usually that price is higher. So I like it from a value standpoint for the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, and I think that was the big surprise, is that they got two players and they did it without seemingly having to give up all that much.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, listen, if they have it their way, the first round pick is going to be 32nd overall. And if they win it all, no one's going to be complaining about, oh, they gave the first round pick, you know, 4 years from now. No one's going to care. They're going to see the banner, and that's what's important, you know. And I think it's in line with their organizational philosophy. When you bring back David Krejci, when you bring back Patrice Bergeron, it's about winning now. And I think that that's important. They committed to that. If you were trying to win now with two older centers, but saying we can't trade our draft picks, well, then you're trying to accomplish two things at once. And when you do that, you often accomplish neither one. So I think that for the Bruins, it was important to stay committed to the philosophy they laid out in, say, August when they brought these guys back.
And I don't know that anybody has rehabilitated their image in the minds of fans as rapidly as Don Sweeney has this year.
Oh, he's on a heater. I mean, it's really remarkable. You go back to probably the start of the 2021 deadline, I'd say, when he got Taylor Hall for a second-round pick and Andres Bjork. He signs Derek Fulbert. He signs Linus Ullmark. He turns Eric Halla into Pavel Zacha, brings David Krejci back. I mean, the Hampus Lindholm trade, the list goes on and on. And I think what's important is, you know, now it's the big one. Now it's re-signing David Pastrnak. If you can make that happen, you know, there's legit talk of him being a good, even say excellent, general manager who's done a great job of keeping his team competitive without, you know, completely mortgaging his future, I would say.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. On the last 4 days, a couple of exciting Bruins wins. That Thursday game with the Kraken, that was just crazy.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, anytime you have a game where the response goals from both teams are coming within about a minute and a half, you know, it's a barn burner. And that Seattle team, you know, they can play. They can score. And what I found interesting, though, is that their defense gave them problems back in Boston when the Kraken came here and shut the Bruins out. It seemed like the Bruins were getting inside ice. They were finding ways to break through what Seattle was doing. And I think that's important, right? That in-season adjustment, those in-season, you know, corrections, if you will. So I liked it from that standpoint. And I really liked the way that, you know, Seattle goes ahead with about 4 minutes and change left in the game. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, that's it. You know, you gave a good fight, but you're going to lose this game. And then they come back with two goals in about a minute and a half. I mean, it's perfectly Bruins this season. You know, you have heroes up and down the lineup. And I think, you know, it's funny. It was a five goal against game, but I thought Jeremy Swayman played excellent. And he made some big-time stops when he needed to. So, all in all, it's a character win, another one for this team. They've had so many of them. But I loved it, you know, based on where they were when this team came to town last month.
Boy, and speaking of great goaltending, another Vezina-caliber performance in Saturday's game from Allmark. It probably should have had a shutout. And then, as if that wasn't enough, decided to also score a goal.
What a season, right? I mean, he's been lights out from start to finish. I mean, finish to date, obviously. But he has just elevated his game to a level that I truthfully didn't think was possible when he signed here. I knew they were getting a good goaltender. He's been a great goaltender, and it's really remarkable to watch the way that he's tracking the puck, watching the way that he's just so calm in net. And to your point, you know, he really doesn't give up bad goals. To get him beat, it seems like there has to be layers of errors in the defensive zone by the Bruins to get him beat cleanly. So just a really phenomenal performance this season, and you get the goal. I mean, it's really funny because both he and Swayman have been hunting for this all year long. You watch games. If they have the chance, they take it. Swayman came close back in December. He was so bummed he didn't get that goal. And now, you know, Omar gets it, but he's just as happy as he would have been if he scored it. So it's funny. I'm curious to see if Swayman tries it. You know, if they have a lead tonight, they try to become the first tandem in league history to have goals in a season. So worth watching. I think Swayman's going to go for it if he has a chance.
The big thing would be to keep the officials from cleaning out Brad Marchand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you know, it's funny. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt with calls, and now they're taking him out. So, you know, he's got to be frustrated. But it's Wes McCauley. He's one of the most beloved referees in the NHL. You know, he's the guy that always says 5 minutes for fighting. You know, he's got a good rapport with the players. So, you know, that happens. You know, I'll never forget back in 2010 it was. Dennis Wiedemann was having one of the worst seasons I've ever seen a defenseman have. Just bad luck left and right. He was going back into the defensive zone. He was skating backwards, skated right into an official, took him out of the play, 2-on-1. The Senators scored, and I believe that's how they lost the game. So it can always be worse, Marchand. Don't worry about it.
What has the return of Jake DeBrusk done for the team?
You know, it just gives them another guy who plays a really hard-nosed game, gets to the dirty areas, is great on the power play, net front, behind the net, retrieving pucks. Just adds another element to that first line that I think they were missing without him. You know, you look at how they performed with DeBrusk out of the lineup, and their best line was Pastrnak back up with Bergeron and Marchand. Now, we know they're great, and they have some great games, but when you do that, it does affect the rest of your lineup. You're not as deep, you're not as potent, and I think the Bruins felt that to a degree. Now, they were winning games, but they missed that extra jump, that extra spark, and, you know, to get DeBrusk back in the lineup, and it, by the way, he hasn't missed a beat. He looks just as good as he did before the injury since returning, so it just adds another high-danger element to the lineup. And I think it allows Bergeron and Marchand to do their thing, you know, to their fully, you know, operational power, I would say. It allows them to roll three lines and to make Bergeron even that much better in the offensive zone.
And finally, tonight, as they take on the Oilers, what do they have to do? What are the keys, and what do you think we'll see?
Yeah, the key is slowing down Connor McDavid, which is easier said than done. He's been an absolute stud this season. I think he's got the MVP locked up already. We're approaching March here. So he's been a sight. You know, if you slow him down, the team struggles. Now slowing him down is impossible, though. So you have to kind of go tit for tat with him, you know, and try to match it. And how do you do that? Well, you have an MVP candidate yourself in David Pastrnak. So I'm watching that matchup tonight. You know, I want to see them kind of go toe-to-toe. You know, he scores and Pastrnak scores. I think that's your best bet at slowing them down. But that's what you got to do. And I'm curious to see how they manage McDavid. How is that matchup? Who do they put out there against them? You know, they don't have the benefit of last change, but they will be able to get their guys on him if they want. You know, do they go fourth line there? Do they go third line with Charlie Coyle? No Taylor Hall tonight. He's back in Boston. He's got a lower body injury, but I'm gonna be interested to see how they match up against Connor McDavid tonight.
We've been kind of watching the win total, and now sitting at 45, they've got a pretty good shot, I think, to break the all-time record for wins in a season.
Yeah, it's definitely within striking distance. What I will say, though, is that I fully expect the Bruins to rest some guys late in the year. They don't care about the record. They care about lifting the Stanley Cup, and I think that's known throughout their room. It doesn't matter to them if they break that record, if they lose the first or second round. So if you look at their season, I believe it's in mid to late March, where I want to say they have 10 games in less than 20 days. So that is a tough schedule. They end the season with, I think, six straight weekends of back-to-backs. So I believe you're going to see Bergeron, Krejci, maybe even Marchand and McAvoy and Lindholm rested down the stretch a little bit here. So I think by doing that, they may hurt their chance of setting that record, but I think they're going to take that trade-off if it means they're healthy come game one of the playoff.
No question about that. Ty Ederson, 98.5, the Sports Hub, talking Bruins with us. Ty, thanks as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll visit with you again in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
No, you're welcome.